I thank the Lord for the privilege to be back with you again this evening. I thank God that we feel that He's blessed us this week and each evening. I've been blessed to be here. I've been blessed to study these passages of Scripture. It's been a blessing to my spirit and it's been a blessing to try to present them to you. And I hope, brethren, that you and I have been edified by it. And I thank you all for your kind comments in that regard, and thank you for your prayers, Brother Lindy, especially this evening, and your special prayer, and thank the Lord for that, for all of you praying for me. I desperately need it. You know that, and thank you. Please pray for me and yourselves. Sister Elizabeth, those hymns were beautiful. Thank you for that. I thank God for that. What a talent. What beautiful words and true words in those hymns that speak of God's He's Christ, the only one. He's merciful to us. What a blessing. Great is our Lord. And I thank God for for you all and your support here this week. I thank, above all, God by the Holy Spirit having come and blessed us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As Brother Lee said, I want to try to address what is the fifth and final faithful statement, saying, and all of God's Word, of course, is faithful and true. All Scriptures inspired of God, so it's all faithful. But it's good to take these that are enumerated as faithful and study them. This last one this evening is in Titus. Would you turn to the Epistle of Titus, the Epistle of Paul to Titus. Follows 2 Timothy, and we'll look at Titus 3. To begin, brethren, it'll be verse 8. We're going to back up some, but just for right now, look at Titus 3, 8. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writes to Titus and to us, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." We're going to look at some things here that Paul says are faithful, and that he would have Titus, the young preacher, to affirm and do it constantly. I want to take this last evening, and because we're going to go, God willing, to a different topic tomorrow, but I want to just review one more time very briefly with you, brethren. Monday night, 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Again, you know that is the bedrock foundation, that Christ is the Son of God and He came to save His people from their sins. He came into the world to do that. Wednesday night, we looked at 1 Timothy 4. Verse 9, and then we backed up to 8 and then to 7. As Brother Lindy mentioned in his prayer, that Paul says that faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation is that godliness is profitable. We who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the only way that we can be saved, we who have been so saved are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We're to practice godliness, to train ourselves to godliness. Godliness is profitable, Paul tells us. God tells us through the Apostle Paul. Second night on Wednesday. Third night on Thursday. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. "If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." Doctrinal statement, doctrinal truth, basic foundational truth. If Christ died for us and He came to save us, we shall live with Him eternal in the heavens. In that eternal heaven, when we die, we go to live with Him. At the final resurrection, our body will be joined with our spirit, made incorruptible, our bodies, ever to be with the Lord. If we are dead with Him, we shall live with Him. We are crucified with Christ. We're risen with Him. We walk with Him in newness of life. And as a practical matter, if we are dead to the flesh, if we die to the things of the world, we live with Him. We walk with Him in communion. He holds us up. Two aspects of that, eternally and in this present world. And then last evening, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. And that's, I think it's understood there. It doesn't say if we suffer with Him or for Him, but I think that's understood. Because suffering is universal. And just suffering for the sake of suffering amounts to nothing. If God's people suffer for Christ's sake, for well-doing, then we reign with Him. And I mentioned to you some that I think God showed me as examples would be Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They suffered for godliness, for God's cause, and for the right thing. And they reigned in that fiery furnace. They walked about in it with the incarnate, pre-incarnate Christ. Nebuchadnezzar would say, we threw three men in bound. He says, I see four loose walking in the furnace. That was an example. Then there was Paul and Silas in the New Testament, beaten for the cause of Christ, beaten for preaching the gospel. And they were placed in stocks. At midnight, they prayed and they sang praises to God. Christ came by His power. He loosed their bonds. The prison doors were open. And they reigned in that miserable situation in which they were, which to me is an indication of whatever trouble we might have if we're serving God in it, and we're suffering for the cause of Christ. He comes and helps us to reign over that misery and those problems. We walk through and above and on our problems. Now that's four. This evening, brethren, we go to Titus. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. What is the faithful saying here? Paul says something in the preceding verses in this third chapter. And he says some things in the remainder of verse 8. I want to go now to chapter 3, verse 1, brethren. I want to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3. That faithful saying will be contained in these verses we're about to read, chapter 3, verse 1. Please follow along, if you will, in your Bibles as I read. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. And when Paul says, put them in mind, bear in mind he's writing to Titus, a young preacher, helping him, mentoring him, instructing him. Put them, who's the them? That's the ones we're about to read about. Those saved, Jesus Christ came to save and did save. Those who are alive unto God. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Please bear that phrase in mind, brethren, because it's going to come back up, something very similar. It's going to come up as we read. Put them in mind to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were. We were. Past tense. Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There, brethren, is the prior condition of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who Christ comes to save before regeneration, before the Spirit of God takes up residence. That describes our lives, brethren. Verse 4, first word, but. However. But, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, God appears, brethren. God makes an appearance. God in His sovereignty, God in His wisdom, at the appointed time, in His time, God appears to us. And our nature changes, brethren. That verse 3 is past tense, were. But God appears in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Verse 3 doesn't contain any description of any good work that we might do. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Merciful God, as Sister Elizabeth sang to us about Him. According to His mercy. Oh, brethren, what a blessed thought. The mercy of God. God, according to His mercy, saved us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. We had no desire to do works of righteousness. No ability to do works of righteousness. But according to His mercy, He saved us. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are regenerated, brethren. We get the new man. We get a new spirit in us. We're reborn. We're born dead in trespasses and sins, but we're reborn, brethren. And we are renewed of the Holy Ghost in verse 5. The Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you see, brethren, that in each of these phrases here that describe in different words the saving experience by us, that there's no hand that we have in that. There's no part that we have in it except being the recipient of it, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by His grace. Justification by the grace of God. We stand, brethren, justified before a holy God. The only way you can stand is that we're justified. We're justified, brethren, by the righteousness of Christ Jesus, saving us from our sins, taking our sin away. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. I love that expression. Heirs. We're heirs, brethren, in the family of God. We're sons of God. We're children of God. We were once aliens. We were enemies of God. But we go from being an enemy and an outcast to an heir. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs, brethren, have eternal life. This is a faithful saying. That, those are faithful words. Describing, brethren, our lost and undone state and how we pass from that, brethren, to being a part of the family of God by the mercy of God. This is a faithful saying. Kind of sums up what we've been looking at this week. This is a faithful saying, and these things, Paul says to Titus, I will that thou affirm constantly. You and I, brethren, need to be reminded constantly of the amazing grace of God and the mercy of God. The story that never grows old. Constant affirmation of that faithful saying. Why? That they which have believed in God, and brethren, you and I can only believe in God. We can't make an autonomous decision and just say, I think I'm going to believe in God. Christ asked Simon Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Christ says, who do you say that I am? The answer is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And how did Peter know that, brethren? He believed that. He understood it, brethren, because as Christ said, flesh and blood can't reveal it to you. Oh, brethren, there's a duty and a great privilege we have to bring our children into the church building and expose them to the preaching of the gospel. We have the responsibility to teach them at home, to read the Word of God to them, tell them the stories of God and the saints of old. But unless and until, brethren, the God in His mercy and His sovereignty touches that child, they're not a child of God. Praise God. You know, there's a benefit, brethren, in teaching those children those things. And then that they may know them with a head knowledge, and that might be all the knowledge they have of them to a point. But when God visits them, brethren, and puts His Spirit in them, then it comes together like the pieces of a puzzle. And they grow, and they grow, and they come to love the Lord. You who have believed in God might be careful, and here's that, to maintain good works. Do you see in verse 1 where he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Paul says that Titus, you need to constantly affirm those faithful statements. You and I need to be reminded that we might be careful to maintain good works. Good works. This certain nights earlier this week, the statement to me tended to be almost a purely doctrinal statement that we can rejoice in. Other evenings, the statement tended to be practical Christian living, exercising godliness, and so on. This evening, we have both, brethren. We have the description of how God works in His people. Not by their own works of righteousness, because our works were not righteous. We don't have the ability nor the desire. But God begins to work in us in His mercy, saving us, regenerating us, placing the Holy Spirit in us, justifying us by His grace, making us heirs, making us His own. Those all doctrinal statements are describe God's work in us. And then Paul says, We're to affirm those constantly. The pastor is to remind the people of God constantly. The pastor is to remind himself constantly of the work of God, the finished work of God, that we who believe those things, those faithful sayings, might be careful to maintain good works. Good works. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are put in Christ Jesus. One of the purposes, brethren, is to maintain good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. These things. What things? Well, the things, those doctrinal things that we read about in the preceding verses, all that's good, isn't it? It's good, it's great, it's wonderful. And also, brethren, it's good that you and I maintain good works. It's good for us, it's good for the recipient of good works, and it's good for God. It glorifies God. It gives all the honor and glory to God. Be careful, brethren, to maintain good works. Exercise yourself unto godliness and let the good works flow from that. By that, brethren, we glorify God. He gets the honor and glory. We're not to do them to be seen of men, but that they will see our good works, others will, and glorify God, our Father, which is in heaven. I pray that God will give us the grace to do that, that He'll give us the insight to see opportunities for good works. That when we see the opportunity, we'll seize that opportunity. And then we'll maintain good works. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. Because the work of God, the work of regeneration has been performed in us. And we're heirs of God. And we want to please our Father. May God give us the grace to do that. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for these faithful sayings, oh God. As we've tried to study them this week and to remember each one and what they mean, oh God, help us in our minds to hold those in our minds and to constantly affirm these truths and to rejoice in them. And as Brother Lindy says, that we might put them into practice apply them in our own lives, O God. May we be, O God, as a city that is set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. In a dark world, otherwise dark world, O God, may we let our lights shine to the honor and glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.